Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
So a young woman named Kate Hamill has become the go-to writer to take complex and beloved novels and turn them into stage plays. She did it with Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility, which became a wildly successful hit at the Judson Gym a few seasons back. Then she tackled Thackeray's Vanity Fair last season. Well, believe it or not, Hamill is back again. When does she sleep? With Austen's Pride and Prejudice. Now, this one is a particular challenge, as it is a book people read over and over, and it has been adapted many times to screens of all sizes. Oh, did I mention that Hamill also stars in all these shows? Well, now her vision is on stage at the Cherry Lane Theater in the West Village, though the production is brought to us by Primary Stages. And this is pretty much a thoroughly winning production. Hamill has kept all the elements of the novel and added some contemporary touches, mostly in the music selections. The show is long, hey, so is the book, and gets a tad screechy at the end, but the eight actors, all except for Hamill as Elizabeth Bennet and Jason O'Connell as Mr. Darcy, play at least two roles, and they are nothing less than hilarious. No one leaves the stage. They simply move to the side and watch the goings-on while quickly changing costumes and or genders. There is some very clever choreography as well. Now, I have to assume the majority of the great lines are Jane Austen's, except for when one character coughs several times and is finally warned by another, "Have consumption already and be done with it." The marriage comes in for its share of quips and arrows. The state is fundamentally flawed, and now you have found a man who will disappoint you too. Surely you have seen the misery of a mismatch. Yes, this one is all about the matchups and those four Bennet sisters. The accomplished woman is unapproachable, remarks the character. Well, this production is wholly approachable, but let me say it has a good amount of slapstick. If that's not your thing, this may not be for you. Also, sticklers for deep layers in the original text may find it just too frenetic. But I predict a nice run for this Pride and Prejudice, and I'm interested in what Kate Hamill takes on next. Moby Dick, anyone? Meanwhile, on a completely different note, the last time I went to the August Wilson Theater, which was earlier this year, in fact, it was to see Jidney by August Wilson, an edgy, honest portrayal of African-American life in Philadelphia. Well, now the same theater is home to, well, Home for the Holidays, a concert of sorts that could hardly feel less edgy or relevant. But hey, that's what makes Broadway theater so flexible. Now, I like Christmas music as much as anyone. I can listen to it for 90 minutes without too much pain, but this production is a challenge. Officially called Home for the Holidays Live on Broadway, it features a small group of winners from American Idol, The Voice, and America's Got Talent. Now, I'm not boasting, but I can honestly say I don't watch those shows. I assume that most of the audience who chooses to go home for the holidays do. To my ears, only the voice of one Candace Glover is memorable. She was the winner of season 12 of American Idol. The others, Josh Kaufman, Bianca Ryan, Evan Hollins, and Peter Hollins, are all fine, but little more. I kept thinking Mary Charismaless might be a better title. The oddest casting, and he says so himself in the middle of this concoction, is Danny Aiello, who narrates occasionally, trying to give it a nostalgic New York touch, as does someone named Caitlin Bristow. Now, she is, according to the playbill, the most controversial and well-liked bachelorette to date. Well, I fact-checked this with my daughter, by the way, who says controversially, yes, well-liked, not so much. Whatever, there she is for no good reason and with no good dialogue standing on a Broadway stage. But I guess if a reality star can end up in the White House, Broadway may seem like small potatoes. Again, if you can't get enough of holiday music, this won't cause you heartburn, except for what you paid for the ticket. But I dare say your kid's high school is probably doing it just as well. But this may be it for the Christmas show of this season, unless I'm missing one. Last year we had Holiday Inn, a highly professional but still lackluster production from the Roundabout. Before that was White Christmas, which has gone on to travel the country. Well, we will always have the Rockettes. Finally, there is some theater news of the week. As for shows ending their runs, it surprised some that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is closing up shop. Although its reviews were far from stellar, Charlie started off strong, but obviously petered out. Ultimately, the run did not even go a year, and investors will say bye-bye to those contributions. It also seemed to make news that 1984 will not be eligible come Tony time because it would not allow a particular voter to see the show. Well, this all seems much ado about nothing, since the production would likely not be remembered, nor should it, come nomination time. Now, if there is a hovering trend in New York theater, it may be teenage girls. A show called Schoolgirls, or the African Mean Girls Play, is opening shortly at the Lucille Lortel. The Wolves, about a high school girls soccer team, is selling out nightly at Lincoln Center. And Tina Fey's Mean Girls is heading to Broadway in the spring. It's about to have its first tryout in Washington. Now, finally, three shows have made their moves from off or off-off to on-Broadway. Steve Martin's Meteor Shower is in previews. One lead actor has already quietly been replaced. That comedy was last performed in New Haven's Long Wharf Theater. The Band's Visit has moved from the Atlantic Theater to the Ethel Barrymore, where it continues its splendid reviews. But I'm still not predicting a long run for that one. I saw John Leguizamo's one-man rant entitled Latin History for Morons at the Public Theater. I enjoyed that and the Band's Visit in their intimate settings. But as you know, I always feel something is lost when they go large. But the potential rewards, Jill, are obviously just too tempting.
I always wonder who thinks of these things, but, you know, I don't know. You must remember years back, and this is not Broadway related, but it is holiday related because of Macy's. And mm-hmm. Do you remember when these stores expanded all through malls across the country? I mean, you used to go to, I remember you coming to the city and going to Macy's and going to Bloomingdale's and going to Lord & Taylor and et cetera mm-hmm. before graduating to Bonwitzburg, et cetera. And right. The point is that there was a time when it just open a Bloomingdale's in pick a place.
Yeah.
And it ends, it's not intimacy per se, but it takes something. There's an alchemy that goes with all of this is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
That you can't just transpose to a random empty building. And I wonder what the...
I don't know. But by the way, malls are not doing well around the country. There's a very big one that's just opening in Los Angeles. But other than that...
No, people are going to start... It was ever thus in terms of pendulum swing, people are going to start liking... Do you remember Giorgio's?
No.
Okay, it was in Beverly Hills.
Oh, Beverly Hills.
Yeah, well, the reason that I'm mentioning is people are going to start liking the fun and the sexy and the intimacy and the experience.
Yeah.
Again, because, you know, we've now gone essentially 30 years without... It's become so convenient and antiseptic online...
Right,
you're just, who can forget the Spiegel catalog from 1900, okay?
I know, I'd love to see some of that come back. From what I hear, malls are doing badly. Online shopping is obviously the way to go now, which is making things even less personal.
Right.
I don't know, I don't like big. I don't go to big pharmacies. I don't go to big department stores. It's a psychological thing, which apparently there is a name for it psychologically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people who can't walk into a place and see too many aisles, too many choices.
Oh, I thought I always hated shopping. I didn't know I had a condition.
I hate shopping too, but now you can blame it on.
Oh, good. I've got a condition. Oh, maybe there's a drug for it.
We can go to rehab together. Yeah.
But the point is, how this is, sometimes the magic of the show is in the size and in the venue.
Yeah. That's right. And there's just too many of these.
Yeah, and so that is of concern. It also, this is a personal frustration, but the money that is spent on this obviously isn't being spent on other things that might even be that might contribute to the longevity, if you will, of the art itself.
That's right. But you know, I guess you could say people get greedy. On the other hand, they say, God, this show sold out. We could, you know, every single performance at the Atlantic Theater. Let's just move it bigger and see what happens. And
because they can't, and the other thing, in fairness, is you can't extend indefinitely at these places.
Oh, not at all.
So if you have something that is living, then you want, you know, it's never good to just shut it and then say, oh, well, we'll just start this. You do have a certain amount of momentum.
So
that's a necessary component of the decision. Just in some of these cases, it's not entirely clear that the critical thinking went into it is all I'm trying to say.
Well, people aren't aware that small theaters, off-Broadway houses, for example, have seasons planned a year or two in advance. So they don't have a lot of leeway. People might say, well, why can't the band's visit just keep going at the Atlantic forever? Well, they can't because they have three shows that are scheduled to come in. So they're locked in too. There they have this hit show. The next show's coming in 2 weeks, so they can't extend it more than that. And you can see the temptation of, well, let's see if we can find a Broadway house. Word of mouth is good. The reviews are going to be good. They loved it small. They'll probably love it again. And certainly most of the reviews have said that. So you can see the temptation. And a lot of time it works. By the way, speaking of big, I just came back from China, which I don't need to talk about because I didn't do any theater there, by the way. But, oh, my God, you talk big stores. Every single street in Beijing looks like it could be right here, you know, on Lexington or Beverly Hills. Big and crowded, and you can't move, and it doesn't even look Chinese anymore. I was there many years ago, and boy, yeah, you've got your forbidden, I was going to say forbidden Broadway, but you've got your forbidden palace and all that. But we're going big. The world is going global, and I am a big believer in small theater shows and big theater shows, and that's a real difference. But hey, let's see what happens here. Let's hope I'm wrong on my band's visit prediction.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.